Time now for hour number two of this weekend's big two-hour get-together on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Host of the program is Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. And Carol will be interviewing Mary Higgins Clark, the famous author, during this hour. We'll also be joined by Richard Neer, talking to a very, very well-known doctor, Dr. Jeffrey Bland. He's a mentor to some of the big media doctors that are stars today, and you'll find that to be an interesting conversation. So let's jump right into the hour now, and Carol Marks, front and center, in conversation with Bill Palmini, Jr. He's currently chief of the Department of Public Safety at UC Hastings College of Law in San Francisco, and he's going to talk to Carol about his new book titled A Rookie Cop Versus the West Coast Mafia, Breaking Up the Best in the West Gang. It's published by New Horizon Press.
Bill, the warmest of welcomes to A Touch of Grey, and I'm delighted that my producer, Beverly Santinel, happened to invite you to come on the show on your birthday. That's a very nice coincidence.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
How did you meet your co-author, Tanya Chalupa? And then, what made you want to write about some of your most interesting true crime cases? Because this is your second book.
Yes, it is. Well, that's an interesting discussion in itself. I met Tanya. She was she wrote the car seat law in California, which got passed by the California Senate, and she was heavily involved in public safety, traffic safety grants, and she was a coordinator for a lot of grants in California. I was introduced to her by a gentleman from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. As he put it, he was looking for a couple of crazy cops that could do a program for him, and it was a program called the Chief Operator Program, which is based on the Designated Driver Program for adults, but it was a teen program, and you can't have a designated driver for teenagers because they're not of a legal drinking age. So Tanya sort of offered the grant, and the grant, believe it or not, was the Chief Operator Program featuring Elvis the Lawman. So I was the police officer, and I got to funded to do imitations of Elvis, but only doing traffic safety songs.
Wow. So, and then you decided together to write a couple of books about your interesting true crime cases, correct?
That's true. The original thought was that we kind of wanted to do a book that had a bunch of different cases, sort of like little short stories of cases, which we submitted to an agent. There was an agent in New York who said, oh, yes, the Palmini's had an interesting career, but he was more interested in the boxcar serial killer, which was the topic of the first book. So we expanded that short story into the book called Murder on the Rails.
And this book certainly covers a fascinating case. You were a young 23-year-old cop in 1971, and you'd only worked 3 years for the really small Sausalito Police Department in California, and you got a call. There'd been an armed robbery and a safe burglary during the night at what was called the Trident Restaurant. So what was there about this restaurant that made you think this was going to be a big case?
Well, first of all, the Trident was at the time was really a mecca of it was like a magnet for Hollywood stars and rock and roll stars. The Rolling Stones would party there. Janis Joplin had her own booth there. Frank Weber was the manager, co-owner of the Trident Restaurant, and he was also the manager of the famous Kingston Trio restaurant. So I knew that this would probably attract media, but not as much media as I anticipated, because it really got big. And when I first showed up, by the way, Carol, when I first showed up that morning, and I looked at the crime scene, I was like, wow, what do I do now? Because I was really, never had seen a case like this where they actually came in, Carol, and drilled through the walls, drilled through the door, brought their own heavy equipment to bypass the alarms, brought their own acetylene torches to burn the safes, by the way, and came in by boat of the color of darkness, and they all had dressed up in frogments, frogmen wetsuits when they came in and at gunpoint and took the night crew down.
Wow. And so you found out as you hunted for the criminals that contacting other police departments that they had conducted a number of other safe cracking jobs similar to the one at the Trident, and then you realized, didn't you, that this was a ring of safe crackers that was known as the best in the West. That's quite a name.
Yeah, that's true. At the time, numerous safe burglaries where they would do post offices, Safeway stores. By the way, my main guy in the book, Bill Edelman, he's the one that was connected to the Godfather, Scotty Spinuzzi in Colorado and Frank Bomponcero in San Diego, but he himself traveled to more than just California and Nevada and Colorado. I mean, he had done safes in Montana and Massachusetts, by the way. So he probably did safes with burglaries throughout the country. But getting back to this, that there was just an influx of data and police departments with a lot more experience than I had calling me, naming these guys, because they were never caught. You know, they never got caught at all. And here I was able to get arrest warrants with the help of the Federal Strike Force, by the way, for two guys, Edward Devaney, who did serve time on this case, and Bill Edelman, who walked this case. So they're very prolific. They laundered their money through the mafia, in particular through Frank Bonfancero's restaurant in San Diego.
And you realized that you really needed to get close to William Edelman, because he was the point man and the brains behind this also efficient safe-cracking gang, and you needed to get close to both as an informant and as a criminal who could teach you things that no police department could. And eventually he got out of jail, and he did become your informant. And, you know, you said something in the book that really made me think, wow, because you found yourself 3 months after his arrest and out of jail, hanging out in bars with him, drinking scotch and talking to one of the smartest criminal minds around.
Yes, I probably learned more on this case, more from him, than I could learn in any police academy or police schools. The amount of crime this guy was in. Well, I'll give you a couple examples. They simply wrote the Bell telephone. They got all the schematics for all the alarms in the country. They simply wrote to the safe, Herman Safe, and the safe companies, and all the nomenclatures of all the safes in the country. They had loaded dice to beat the casinos. In the book, I explain how he got the loaded dice with the casinos' names on them, which he gave me 4 pair here. But they told me how they'd get him into the game at all the casinos in Vegas, Tahoe, and Reno, and how they would cheat the casinos at money and not get caught, never got caught.
And there were so many interesting people that you ran into through this case, and one of the people really fascinated me, and that was the owner of another restaurant in Sausalito, Valhalla, because she was a former madam in San Francisco, Sally Stanford. And, you know, what really made me shake my head was, how in the world did she, at 73, wind up being elected mayor of Sausalito?
Well, you know, she ran, I believe, 4 times, I can't recall now, at least 4 times under her true name, which was Marcia Owen, and she kept losing. And somebody said, Sally, nobody knows you by Marcia Owen. You need to do it as Sally Stanford. And by George, she got on the ballot as Sally Stanford and won.
Quite amazing. And you really got to know William Edelman, who was so, so bright. What impressed you the most about him?
I think that his command presence. He was the type of guy who, in most of these cases, they had an inside man, but his planning, his planning to details, such as the Dodge Ridge Ski Resort. You know, I told you they came in the Trident with dressed in my boat, dressed in scuba gears. But when they did the Dodge Ridge Ski Resort, they all had white overalls and fake noses on. But his details, you know, they had police monitors. They had crystals to monitor police departments. They had walkie-talkies to communicate. His command presence, if he came into a jewelry store and talked to you, he had that executive CEO command presence. In those days, a $400 suit. Remember, we're talking 1971. You know, when they were getting $300,000 to $400,000 every time they did a safe, that's a lot of money.
It certainly is.
It was his command presence that did it.
Now, Bill, were you surprised that so many mobsters in the cases you investigated actually served very little time, in spite of the fact that the judge or the jury gave them really long sentences, but they didn't seem to serve them?
No, they didn't. A lot of them were able to get very good attorneys, number one. And number two, most every one of them had a heart condition, or shall we say an alleged heart condition. And in those days, the sentencing structure was just much different than it was today.
Bill Palmini, Jr., in conversation with Carol Marx. His book is titled A Rookie Cop Versus the West Coast Mafia, Breaking Up the Best in the West Gang. It's published by New Horizon Press, and the interview was conducted by Carol Marx. Carol Marx returns in conversation with Mary Higgins Clark. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment, or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, here's Carol Marx in conversation with Mary Higgins Clark, number one New York Times bestselling author. She's written 33 suspense novels, 3 collections of short stories, a historical novel, and a memoir. And now she has a new novel published, I've Got You Under My Skin, a novel published by Simon & Schuster.
You are always coming up with such great, exciting story ideas. So can you tell our listeners how some actual crimes have played a role in your writing mysteries that are always New York Times bestsellers?
Well, I do a lot of reading, and I may read a story that on page 3 of the tabloid and say, wait a minute, this is a good idea for a take the germs of this story and just write a book. And no one would ever recognize from one to the other, but something just says to me, this is good material for a book. And it's always been like that all these years. In fact, the very first one Where Are the Children, was based on a true case that of a young mother who was accused of murdering her children. And I thought, suppose she's innocent, and suppose she is accused of it, but they can't bring it to trial, please, and 5 years later, the anniversary of the day her two children had died, the children of her second marriage disappear. And I thought, now that's a good premise. But so it wasn't about the original case. It was to take it and say, suppose, and turn it into something completely different. But it sure has been a source for me of material just to see, read about true cases.
And one of the reasons your mysteries are so popular is their plots. And in I've Got You Under My Skin, you put together a great one because it's about something we see a lot today, reality TV shows. And it's based on reenacting real the TV shows that are, you know, that you write about, or the particular one. It's involved with unsolved murders with the actual people involved in them. And that's such an original idea.
Well, I thought, obviously, you can't go back more than 20 or 25 years. But if people have been under suspicion, you know that when you come into a room, someone says, you know, that's the one who was involved in that case. And they never did know whether or not she shot that or killed that woman. You hear these voices behind you. And then if you have a chance to clear yourself, or in the minds of the public, to get up and say, I didn't do it, and I wouldn't have done it, and tell your own story. And I thought, in this case, all of the four women who had been college graduates when the murder happened, all of the four of them could use the money. And the husband of the dead woman is offering them $250,000 net if they will come and go on this program. So I thought, that's a good premise. And of course, on the first couple of pages, a young doctor is murdered, and he is the husband of the producer, and she does not know that Blue Eyes, who killed her husband, is now aiming for her. So
and
I
you know,
think we get two stories going.
You certainly do, and it's just amazing that you could combine them all, and you have so many wonderful characters that you flesh out. How did you keep track of all of them?
Well, of course, I have a biography on all of them. You know, if you're going to go into the interior of someone, you have to figure out who her mother and father were and what she's like. And then you want to have different backgrounds, even though they were all friends and college graduates from different colleges. But different circumstances of how they grew up, you know, at home. So that they're, in my mind, they're full-blown when I start to write about them. You know, I don't just write, her name is Carol, and what she likes. And you've also got to do descriptions of them. So in the reader's mind, he can see that person when she starts to talk. So you do a lot of groundwork before the first page goes down.
And you always make the beginning of your show something that hooks people in and just makes them want to continue reading. As I said, your characters are so great. It must have been fun to write about the two people in the book. One was a would-be actress, Nina Craig, and her mother, who had been a very successful actress. And boy, what a volatile relationship the two of them had. Unbelievable.
Wasn't it fun?
Yes, it was a lot of fun. It sure was. And the other thing that I love about your books, Mary, is that you always have a little romance, and you've got this handsome lawyer, Alex Buckley, and he's narrating this documentary about this 20-year-old cold case, and then you've got the producer of the pilot series, Lori Moran, and I thought they made such a great couple. Do you think that we might ever put them in another mystery? Because I just love them.
Yes, they are going to be in another mystery.
Aha! You made me happy.
Oh, I like them, and he loves her dearly. And she is still grieving for her husband, who had been shot, the young doctor. And in this book, she also is always apprehensive. He had shouted the killer as he ran away to the little boy, "Timmy, tell your mother she's next, and then you." So she always is living in fear that suddenly a shot will hit her, but much more she worries about her little boy. Her father quit his job as in the police department as potentially the next commissioner to just take his grandson to school, to watch over him, to be there. He's his bodyguard because he is not going to allow anyone to get too close to him. And but can you imagine living as though somebody who killed your husband is going to kill you and your child?
It makes you, how can you trust anyone? I mean, that has got to be, you know, part of what bothers her so much. And, you know, she is like so many of your heroines in your book. She's an ordinary person in extraordinary circumstances. And I think that gives us all hope that we could, you know, get through something tough like your main characters do.
Oh, yes. I mean, my women are strong. They are not shrinking violets. They are people in ordinary, you know, even though good jobs, and something happens. Something crosses their path, just the way it happens every day. You know, a 17-year-old leaves home, and she's hit, it happened in a town near us, to go to the prom. And down the block, the car with her and the boyfriend are in, is smashed by a truck and she's killed. Can you imagine saying goodbye to your 17-year-old and she's all dressed up and she looks gorgeous and the young man is, you know, one of these attractive, fresh-faced kids and the two of them are dead 2 minutes after you said goodbye to them. And life is like that. Life has so many sudden moments in it that's what I want to do in my book, that something can change your life forever in a moment, and it can happen to any one of us.
Mary Higgins Clark with Carol Marks. The novel's titled I've Got You Under My Skin, a novel published by Simon & Schuster. More Touch of Grey coming your way in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray.
Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to be joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who just a few minutes from now will be talking with Dr. Jeffrey Bland. Dr. Jeffrey Bland was a mentor to Dr. Mehmet Oz, Dr. Joel Fuhrman, Dr. Mark Hyman, and countless other famous doctors. He is the father and face of functional medicine, and he's written a new book titled The Disease Delusion, Conquering the Causes of Chronic Illness for a Healthier, Longer, and Happier Life, published by Harper Wave. And Richard will be talking with him in just a few minutes. And, Richard, I always find your conversations with people from two professions very insightful. One, the medical profession, and two, the home improvement profession. And I know you've already conducted this conversation, and it's going to have its world debut here on this radio stage in a few minutes. Anything you want to tease us about it?
Well, I can tell you that it has to do with lifestyle and nutrition. How about that?
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, nutrition has a lot to do with a lot of things. When you think about the things that we consume and the way we live, between the stress and the poison, it's not surprising that we're all walking around with all kinds of mysterious and sometimes not so mysterious ailments. Last week at this time, you and I were talking about the Thomas Friedman piece in the New York Times, in which he talked about certain words really meaning concepts that are disappearing in our society. Words like later, words like average, and then some.
Privacy.
Privacy, of course.
Well, you know, the big gripe I've got with the article, though, because I agree with most of it, is average. Because he says, well, you know, we're not going to settle for average anymore. In order to succeed, you have to be above average. Well, if you're above average and everybody's above average to succeed, the average just goes up.
That's right. average is, well, it's like in politics, left and right. Like there is no empirical truth as to where the left and where the right is. They're relative to each other. And I try to, you know, people say to me, how are you able to, as in your role as the editor of Talkers Magazine, keep such a nonpartisan position? Aren't you basically left or right? And I say, well, it all depends on which direction I'm driving in, you know. and there is left and right, above average, below average. They have no hard fact number attached to them. They're only relative concepts. And when you understand that, it really gives you tremendous insight into statistics. Statistics, the foundation of so many lies in our society. We have to take a break. We're going to listen to your conversation with Dr. Jeffrey Bland, and then let's come back on the other side and talk more about this. Richard Neer is with us, our senior correspondent. I'm Michael Harrison, and all that we have discussed is coming your way when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security webpages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and now as promised, here's Richard Neer in conversation with Dr. Jeffrey Bland. He was a mentor to Dr. Mehmet Oz, Dr. Joel Fuhrman, Dr. Mark Hyman, and countless others. He's the father and face of functional medicine. His new book is titled The Disease Delusion, Conquering the Causes of Chronic Illness for a Healthier, Longer, and Happier Life, published by Harper Wave.
You are a proponent of functional medicine. Define that for us, if you will.
Yeah, thank you. Well, about 20 years ago, actually in 1990,
I got together with a group of my medical colleagues and research friends, and we asked the question, what would the idealized healthcare system look like? And we spent a couple of days actually just having a whiteboard discussion about that, and out of that came the recognition that, that you know, we have an incredibly sophisticated and capable disease care system. The doctors that are serving disease care, the drugs, the surgery, the various technologies, it's amazing. And if we have a disease, a crisis disease, let's have it happen in the United States. But then we also recognize that we don't have much of a healthcare system. Who's really advocating health? Who's really asking the right questions? And where is that found in our healthcare system? And from that, we recognize that if you really want to know more about how to promote health, not just treat disease, then you need to ask a different series of questions. You need to ask how people lose their function over time, why they lose that, what's the explanation for the cause of these conditions, not just treating the symptoms of the effects. And that led into the development of functional medicine, and I'm proud to say that there are now about 100,000 doctors that have gone through courses the last 25 years in this concept that are now integrating these concepts into their practice. So their focus is really on helping patients to personalize an approach towards health by activating their health genes and balancing health care with that of disease care.
Okay, well, you're talking about some chronic diseases and the root causes of these chronic diseases and the fact that even though we're living longer, our lifespans, we're treating disease, but we're not actually getting to the cause, the root causes. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that this is probably starts with the title of the book, The Disease Delusion, that people say, well, that sounds very contradictory. Why would you say a disease is a delusion? We have diseases, and we certainly do. There's no delusion that we have diseases. The delusion is the assumption that we all have had that these are genetically hardwired into our inheritance, that they kind of, the heart disease that we our father had is going to be our heart disease. The breast cancer our mother had is going to be the breast cancer of the daughter. And over the last 20 years since the deciphering the human genome, a major discovery is that most of these chronic illnesses, the heart disease, the diabetes, the arthritis, the dementia, these conditions are not hardwired into our genes. Only maybe 20 to 25% of the disorders are linked tightly to the genes. What has really been found is that 75 to 80% of the cause is related to the messages that we send the genes. In other words, how we live, our lifestyles, our exercise and activity patterns, our diet, environmental exposures. These characteristics, which we can modify, and that's the good news, are really the determinants to how our genes will express either healthy outcome, i.e. our health genes, or disease outcomes, our disease genes. And both of those reside in our, quote, book of life, our genes. And the question is, what signals are we going to send to our book of life so we get these health genes that will always trump the disease genes to be properly expressed? And that's what we discuss in the book, how a person can actually evaluate individually their own unique strengths and genetic susceptibilities and start personalizing their program.
Well, that's interesting because obviously one size does not fit all here. Some of us, as you're saying, are genetically predisposed for certain conditions. Others aren't. You know, we always have the anecdotal thing, well, I drank and smoked my whole life and lived till 99, and then people who have never touched a cigarette die of lung cancer in their 30s. So how do we find these genetic predispositions? Well, how do we go about seeking them out?
Well, I think that is the key theme of the disease delusion. There are obviously many very sophisticated medical tests that physicians can employ, but for the average person who starts on their journey of discovery, many of these questions can be asked by appropriate questionnaires. And these are the questionnaires that we've developed within our clinical work over the last 30 years that I've included in the book. And, in fact, there are 8 different sets of questionnaires that help the individual reader to identify where their most likely imbalances occur in their core physiological processes that are associated with unique needs that they have. And then once they've identified these unique needs through the exploration of these questionnaires, then in the latter portion of the book, we say, given this information, here's how you can start to design and develop your own personalized program that will activate your strengths and minimize your susceptibilities. And I think this is kind of a first step along the path or journey of what I would call personalized healthcare. Medicine is for real people. Statistical average people are of little interest, but often we end up being treated as if we're statistical people, one size fits all, as you said, or blockbuster drugs, or everybody should have a statin, or everybody should be on a specific diet. There is no one diet that's perfect for everyone. We need to individualize that, and the book is a tool to help a person understand how to do that appropriate personalization.
But once we've answered these questions, are you suggesting we do this all on our own, or is there a point where we need to share this with our primary care physician? We need to share the outcomes of this and actually bring the medical professionals into the mix?
Yes, I think there is a point, and I believe communication between patients and their healthcare provider is a very important feature of designing and implementing a healthcare program. And I think that the difficulty we've had in the past is that patients, people, have not really understood exactly what questions they would even want to ask their doctor in order to engage in the proper team work to get a healthy outcome. So the book is really designed to try to assist people, and not to become doctors or to become hypochondriacs, but rather to inform them as to the extraordinary discoveries that have been made the last 20 years about how to access this health information from our genes, and what questions that they want to ask both of themselves and of their healthcare professional to start actually tuning up their program to be personalized to get better better health outcomes. So the first question that I suggest in the book, one would want to ask their healthcare provider just to kind of assess the landscape, is to say, to ask them, she or he, do they have any interest in their lifestyle, their diet, their health habits, their activity patterns, their environmental exposures? If the answer is no to that question, that the practitioner doesn't really have an interest in those answering those or asking those questions, then it would suggest to me that their focus is going to be pretty much focused on disease diagnosis and treatment. They're not going to be really involved with extensive development of a personalized health program. If they say, yes, I'm interested in those questions being asked answered by you, then that starts to develop the relationship in a way that where personalization of program can be developed, because in the end, we own the program, right? Each one of us, this is our program. We're the ones walking around 24/7 living in this body, and we have to have the tools to implement the appropriate program that's going to lead us to high-level health throughout the decades of our life.
Now, you maintain that there are seven core physiological processes that can cause these chronic things and get out of balance. What are those?
Yes, thank you. You know, medical science the last 20 years has been remarkable in the discoveries that it's made about understanding the origin of chronic illnesses. And when you distill and sift through these literally thousands of different published studies, what you ultimately start to understand is that there are distillation down into seven areas that we call core physiological imbalances that then relate to virtually all of these chronic illnesses. And those seven core physiological imbalances include things like the function of the digestive system, which surprisingly to many people is where more than 50% of our body's immune system is located. Often people think about the digestive system just digesting food and absorbing nutrients, but it also has a very important role as the seat of the body's immune system. We also talk as one of the core physiological processes about the body's detoxification system that helps us to detoxify foreign substances that are toxin or internal toxin substances so they can be properly eliminated, and how these detoxification functions vary from person to person and what is needed in an individual to optimize their detoxification system. So we go through these seven different systems. Those are two of the seven. And trying to get a person to understand where their unique core imbalances might be, because, again, we're trying to move beyond one-size-fits-all into a person identifying where their strengths and susceptibilities reside so they can focus their energy and program in the right direction.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Bland in conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. And the book is titled The Disease Delusion: Conquering the Causes of Chronic Illness for a Healthier, Longer, and Happier Life, published by Harper Wave. If you want the resources available to you that we've gathered and you want to hear some of the archived programs and learn more about the adventures of Carol Marks, check us out at the website, atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E, atouchofgray.com. www.thepeaceofme.com. Richard Neer returns for some final words as we come to the concluding segment of our big two-hour get-together next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of our two-hour broadcast and a continuation of our conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. Richard, we were talking about the meaning of average, the relative meaning of average, the role of the concept of average in our society. Do you think basically things are getting better or worse, or do you think that's impossible to determine?
Well, it is impossible, I think, to determine exactly, but I think things are getting better on some levels, and things are getting worse on other levels. I think our skills are changing. In other words, in terms of spelling, in terms of grammar, well, it's certainly worse than it was. However, you know, kids now have computer skills that we couldn't even conceive of 10 years ago.
Right.
Far in excess of what we can do. Mathematical skills. So I think the skill sets are changing, whereas some levels are going down and we're getting worse at it, and others we're way light years ahead of where we used to be.
Do you remember when you and I first broke into radio years ago, and in order to operate a radio station, and when you were a disc jockey,
in most cases in small-time radio, even big-time radio, you had to also be an operator. You were often the only person in the station, especially if you were there after hours, and you had to read meters and stuff. So before you can get a job, you had to get what was called a third-class license. With broadcast endorsement. There was Element 1, Element 2, and do you remember Element 9? Element 9 was the one that was the broadcast endorsement. You had to pass Element 9 on the FCC test, or you can't get a job in radio. And it basically was like getting a driver's permit.
Learner's permit.
You read this pamphlet. I lived on Long Island at the time, and I went into the city to take my test. And I read everything I needed to know about Element 1, 2, and 9 on the train into New York, like an hour and a half trip. And I passed the test. You passed the test. Most of us passed the test. 10 years later, did you notice that very few kids breaking into radio were able to pass Element 9, and eventually they had to get rid of it because nobody could pass it anymore? And basically, it was simple numbers.
Well, have you ever gone into a fast food restaurant and given them change? Like, let's say the bill is $9.19, and you go, oh, wait a minute, and you give them 10 and a quarter, mm-hmm. or 10 and two dimes, and they can't figure out, oh, we owe you $1.01 or we owe you $1.06, because mm-hmm. there's no calculator there. They have to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was a kid, if you were caught counting on your fingers during a math test, you were cheating. And counting on your fingers is using a pocket calculator. It really is. Yeah. So it really, the idea of what is absolute necessary knowledge to be considered an educated person is subject to where it stands in terms of applicability in the society and how you need it.
Well, they claim that Einstein once said that he never memorized the multiplication tables because he could look it up. And he said, anything I can look up, I don't want to clutter my mind with. I want my mind to be a free thinker. And if I have to memorize things that I can look up, it clutters the mind.
Mm. Well, there's a certain degree of truth to that. I mean, how important is it to know that the War of 1812 took place? When the heck did that take place?
Somewhere in the 19th century, I think, really far.
Yeah. And if it's the 1800s, why do they call it the 19th century? That always bothered me. What a mistake. That's a real typo.
Well, because the zeros were the first century. 0 to 100 was number one, right?
So what they say, we're in zero? This is the year zero? But that first year was difficult for writing checks. It was a tough time for all. Richard, thank you so much for joining us. Richard Neer, our senior correspondent. And thank you to Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. Thanks to Kevin Casey, Steve Wiseman, and, of course, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program. The entire Touch of Gray broadcast team, on behalf of us, I'm Michael Harrison, and the anchor chair inviting you to join us here next weekend for 2 big hours of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.